Welcome to Holden Village. In the Creekside Room, Kathy Sorrells will be speaking on creativity and spirituality, mystery. So let's listen in on Kathy.
Because some of you aren't here every day, I've chosen some guiding questions. And for me, questions are really important. I put a quote up there that we talked about yesterday, but it says, "You have to learn to ask the question before you can grow into the answer." And that's something that I find very true in my life, is that when I hold the questions, that the answers come. Have a seat, Carolyn. Hold the chair. So a couple questions that I'm holding for this weekend that hopefully we'll be addressing are up on the board as well. And one of them is, what does it mean to practice the art of creative living? And the other one is, what does it mean to practice our spiritual path through creativity? So being that the class is on spirituality and creativity, the questions are, how do we practice our spiritual path through our creativity? And what was that first question? What does it mean to practice the art of creative living? And for the week, I have decided to do each day along the path or the process of creativity. And so I've looked at what I think is, and assessed for myself, and others have written about and discussed, of what's the pattern, what's the creative process, what's the pattern that one goes through when you're being creative. And looking at that, I've identified the first stage or the first step as a period of preparation, which is what we talked about yesterday. The second one is a period of mystery, of letting go, of moving into the unknown, of the incubation period, as it's often called in the creative process, where you let things sit and settle and evolve, but you're not attached to knowing what it's going to be, what the answer is mystery. And the third stage is inspiration. And that's often out of the mystery, out of the darkness, you get some sort of, sense of knowing. The fourth stage is creation. So you take your inspiration and you do something with it. And you bring something forth. Hi. And then often in the creative process, there's a period of assessment. Because soon you're going to start over again. This is actually not a circle, it's more of a spiral. Into preparation, you go through mystery, inspiration, creation. You bring the thing forth. And then you say, what is this about? Is this what I intended? Do I want to change it? Do I want to work with it? Do I never want to do this again? But there's a period of assessment. We've got 4 days to work on this, which is a pretty squished period of time to go through the creative process. But as a design principle, I decided to use that for the 4 days that we're working with today or this week. And today we're on mystery. So I thought we would start by going around, and actually I'd like to have you tell your name and then just share with us something that is mysterious in your life now. It might be, how can I go to Dish Team and be in this class at the same time? It might be a mystery of many different types, but something that's mysterious, that is, there is mystery and there is unknown in your life. It may be what you're going to do when you leave Holden. I think in a lot of ways, mystery is about wading into the unknown and being comfortable in the unknown and being comfortable with what's ambiguous. And letting go of what our preconceived notions are of what will be or what ought to be. And for me, anyway, that takes a lot of letting go of my judgments. And some of the things that we talked about yesterday in terms of preparation, which are letting go of praise from the outside or criticism from the outside, praise from the inside, criticism from the inside, letting go of a need to be perfect, and a need to do things right. So I'm just going to read a little bit from the stories of the spirit, stories of the heart, which I think connects our idea of a spiritual path and being creative, and specifically in terms of mystery. It says, letting go can be said to be the essence of the spiritual life, the heart of spiritual practice. Beginning to let go brings an immediate and profound revelation. We discover that it is when we are no longer full of opinions and expectations that we are truly receptive. It is when we are no longer afraid of loss that we begin to open in a wholehearted way to the world around us. In the discovery of aloneness is the discovery of what it means to be truly together with others. Letting go is an expression of compassion for ourselves and of love for the universe we live in. The spiritual life is to learn the joy of letting go, and this great art serves us in any circumstances. Whether it is meeting the robber in our own cave or the inevitable changes in our lives with grace. To let go allows us to live wisely. Life is inevitably a process of letting go into greater and greater capacities of being, from infant to child, adolescent to adult. Letting go of our fears and our habits allows a more spacious wisdom to emerge. Moving through this changing world and letting go of the beliefs, the attachments, the fixed sense of ourselves, one day at a time, is to travel with a gracious and spacious heart. To release the old is to allow the new to be born. This is freedom. I'm just going to read the last two sentences again. Moving through this changing world and letting go of the beliefs, the attachments, the fixed sense of ourselves, one day at a time, is to travel with a gracious and spacious heart. To release the old is to allow the new to be born. This is freedom.
One thing that I didn't say directly is that I get swallowed up almost in my own thought process, which is prevents me from being in the now. And, you know, any tangent that I could go off on that has me not going forward, I can go there when I'm in my fear element. That I'm never going to get out of it. Mm. It's kind of like a consumed. Mm. Throw me a buoy.
Certainly in the mystery process and going in depth in the creative process, I found, depending on what it is in my life, but that I do go into a very deep period of darkness. And there is a fear in that darkness that I will not see light. Again. And I think as I've experienced that a couple times in my life in ways that are pretty riveting and deep, I know and now trust that I will come through it. But I certainly don't know and trust that always in that process, and there's a lot of fear there.
I have a fear of planning too much.
Pardon?
Planning too much. Providing too much structure, mm-hmm. so that I'm not putting myself on the edge to really be receptive to.
So you have a fear of not taking risks? Or fear?
Yeah.
It's a great sleep.
That is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Other fears that we have as we approach our own freedom and or our creative process?
I have a fear of being exposed or being known or just having mm-hmm. people see. Because being creative is very vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It's just being vulnerable.
Yeah, fear of being vulnerable. Being exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. For me, it's the fear of not being known. Of not sharing myself, or fear of not, of others not a fear of not revealing myself.
Of them not understanding you when you do reveal yourself, or?
No, of them only understanding at a surface level, because that's all I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Or, you know.
fear of not exposing yourself.
Right.
Gotcha. I'm with you.
I love that.
Well, the whole creative process is full of paradox. One thing I'm...
A fear of being found out, and I don't even know how to describe that found outness, that you're not what you thought you were, or...
The imposter syndrome.
Kind of like that. Cracked up to be, or whatever people perceive you to be.
That you aren't whatever that is. Mm-hmm. Creative enough to be teaching a class on creativity. Spiritual enough to be teaching a class on spirituality. Or creative and spiritual enough to be teaching That was 15 minutes ago, so I can talk about that fear.
I think it's some fear of breaking out of some of the Christian beliefs, like the belief that you have to serve everybody all the time, and instead of doing something for yourself, or what would that mean?
So breaking out of your habits.
Or like our preconceived ideas, like this is the way I should follow, like this is the pattern that I should follow because of what my faith is telling me, is what parents or whoever, you know.
Habits or preconceived notions, this is what you should do.
Right.
I just put should kind of big because it's a big one. This is what I should do. Whether it's your Christian framework, your family framework, anything that you've imported or is grown within you that tells you what you should do.
Yeah, some of us thought of that together too.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably come around to more of these as the week goes by. And hopefully by the end of today we'll come up with a few notions of how to move through our fears. But I want to offer to you what's called the fourfold way, and it's Angelus Arian is the person that taught it to me, and she's a cross-cultural anthropologist. And she's Basque. She is from the Basque country in Spain. And her family came to this country when she was in her 20s, I think. She came with her father, and he and they settled in Idaho. And every 3 years, they would go back to the Basque country to familiarize themselves with the culture, to not lose it, and come back then to the States. And her father is actually sort of a cultural carrier for the Basque country to this country. And she's gone on to do a fair amount of studies in cultures. And she's come up with what she calls the fourfold way, which for them in indigenous cultures, the idea is if you follow these four things, your life will take care of itself in terms of creativity, in terms of freedom. And the first one is to show up. Which sounds really easy, but it may be the hardest one. It's a challenging one anyway. I heard some people mentioning about some of their fears that get in the way of being present. And I think that's what she's talking about, what they're talking about, is to show up and be fully present. And the second one is to pay attention to what has heart and meaning. So pay attention to what you resonate with, what is meaningful to you. And the third one is another very challenging one, is to speak your truth without blame or judgment. And they weren't use the word speak, but I think we also talk about listening without blame or judgment, hearing other people, living your life without blame or judgment. And apparently, if you can do all three of those, I'm still experimenting with this, but if you can do all three of those, you don't have to worry about the fourth one. But the fourth one is to be open to outcome, not attached to outcome, which I actually find very, very fundamental to the creative process, and living creatively and living your life creatively is to be open to what happens and not attached to it. So you're not attached to a preconceived notion about what it has to be, but you're open to what does come. So with those thoughts in mind, I'd like to do a bit of an exercise, and we're going to use clay for it. So I'm going to give everybody a ball of clay. If you'd like a towel to keep the clay off yourself, you can grab one.
Sure.
Oh, this is wonderful.
tomorrow's brownie bars.
Well, we're gonna make chocolate pinch pots. No, fudge pinch pots. Did I not give you one?
No.
Tom, I'm very sorry. Excuse me.
Conspicuous.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'm very sorry. So, what I'd like us to do first, we're just going to do a few quick warm-up things. All right? I want you to think, slap it around a little bit. Feels good. I want you to create a creature.
Creature?
A creature, and this creature needs to have a name.
Bunny?
Not a bunny. Any kind of creature you'd like. Any kind of creature you'd like.
It can be a made up one too, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yay.
And remember, this is about the process, not the product. Mom, and we're practicing letting go of our fears here.
You don't know how to
learn it. That's the voice. All the voices in there.
Constantly. Mine are really auditory. They're not just...
And as you're forming your creature, you need to think of your creature's name.
Flight.
Flight. It's a flying sea turtle.
I knew that.
I knew you knew that.
This is Bart.
Oh.
The bat.
Bart the bat. Like it.
Here's mine. You have to guess. It's a snail.
That's great.
I saw two snakes along the trail, so mine's a snake.
Slithers. This is obvious mode of locomotion.
Some type of mountain otter that can shoot down those rapids in the mountains.
It's an eel. This is a very, very old dinosaur.
It doesn't locomote.
A lot better in its younger days.
This has wheels. Large ear, large mouth, small hand, and kind of wheels.
This is supposed to have feet, but...
Yeah, it's got feet.
Get in there.
I see that. It's got feet. Okay. Now, I want you to take just 1 minute, and I want you to remember that fear up there, the one that you had. Maybe you talked about it, maybe you didn't, and see if you can show it in clay. This is getting abstract. So it's not that we have to be able to guess it. It might just be... That's fine. Okay, anybody want to share their fear?
If not, we can.
It's fear of a broken heart. Mm.
This is fear of being misunderstood.
This is fear of disconnection, disorganization, and just holiness, as in holes, not sacred.
Yeah.
This is a looking glass to be seen and to see myself.
It's a fear of not taking risks and putting everything in a box.
Well, when you're ready, you can collapse your fear ritualistically, out of which we are going to create. What I'd like you to do is to get your clay into a ball. Yeah. And what we're going to do next is I'm going to lead you through a bit of a meditation and then into making a pinch pot. And I'm going to ask you to do this with your eyes closed. So part of this is really about letting go of judgment and letting go of expectations and letting go of it being perfect and seeing with your body, allowing your body to do its thing. So if you want to just get your clay into a ball and then hold it rather quietly in your lap when you get it into a ball. And put your feet on the floor. Get comfortable. You might want to shake out your arms and legs. Relax. And close your eyes. And just let your hands rest in your lap with your clay. And if you can, bring your attention into your feet and feel your feet against the floor. Take a couple deep breaths. And relax. Now slowly bring your attention up your legs and into your calves. And again, relax your calves. And then moving up into your knees. If you find your attention wandering, just gently bring it back. And now see if you can breathe into your thighs and feel your thighs. Move on up into your abdomen. Let go of any tension you might have there. And feel yourself breathing and your torso growing and shrinking, inhaling and exhaling. If you bring your attention up into your neck and let go of all the tension there, breathe into your neck. And then and focus for a couple minutes on your face. And let go of your muscles around your eyes and around your mouth. And let your attention go down your arms slowly and rest in your hands where you have a cool ball of clay. Now, if you'll put your clay into one of your hands and put your thumb at the top of the ball, your other thumb from your other hand, the top of the ball, and begin to push down with your thumb into the ball of clay. And as you push down, rotate the ball of clay slightly, and then push down again. And then rotate it slightly and push down again. Continue pushing and rotating. At this point, you're just forming the center. So you're going to go down to about a quarter of an inch of the bottom. Continue to rotate it after you push. When you've reached the bottom, you can begin pinching, which is to pull your thumb and your fingers toward each other. Two fingers are on the outside of the pot, and your thumb is on the inside. Begin pinching the sides, remembering to rotate the pot after each pinch. give you a couple more minutes to finish up on your pot. If you want to get a smooth texture, it's really up to you. You can use your thumb in a stroking manner, moving from the bottom of the pot up the sides. What I'd like you to do is to keep your eyes closed and just hold your pot again in your hands, resting in your lap. Just for a minute, relax with your pot there and feel it. You may touch, move your hand around it and feel the shape of it, or just hold it quietly. Whenever you're ready, you may open your eyes and look at your glorious creation. Anybody want to comment on their experience? Anything they might have learned about themselves or about moving through fears? Sometimes that's a wonderful thing, in that if our eyes of judgment are closed, then we can be continually surprised by what we create. People who make pinch pots a lot, you can make a more symmetrical pot with your eyes closed than you can with your eyes open. Through practicing both with them open and closed. If symmetry is here.
I was thinking of what if we never would have opened our eyes and then smashed our pot, and then we'd have a vision of something that we never saw. We'd know something that we did, but we just couldn't see it visually. I thought that would have been I don't know what I would have thought. I wanted to see my past, but if I never would have seen it and had my eyes closed, that would have been different too. Then I would have always imagined in my mind what my past was, but I never. I saw it with my hands, but not my eyes.
Early on, I had a struggle as to I wanted to see it.
And why did you want to see it?
I don't know. I just wanted to see if, you know, if it was even, if it was, you know, is it what it felt like?
Is it doing what I want it to?
Exactly.
Is it
doing what I want it to do?
Is it doing what it's supposed
exactly.
to do?
Exactly.
Is it doing what it should do?
I was worried about edge control because when you're wheel throwing, you worry about the edge furthest part out.
Yeah, and you do want to think about that now. I want to tell you all that you're welcome to fire these. We're going to be doing a raku firing on Thursday night. If you'd like to keep them, I will take them down and see if we can get them through the bisque firing in time to do a raku firing. It does help not to have a cracked edge. All that will happen is your pot will come out with a cracked edge. It doesn't hurt it that it's cracked. But if there's a smoother edge, it will come out smoother.